How do you think history would have been different had the leaders of this movement been able to find a kind of Hitler-style dictator?
To my mind, there's just a few like cornerstones that you look for to see, sort of assess whether they're crumbling or not. If you're looking at a democracy to see whether it's a threat of becoming authoritarian, you look at whether minorities are being scapegoated, particularly with conspiracy theories that make them seem secretly powerful. You look at whether violence is intruding into the political system. You look at whether or not people believe in the electoral system. They believe that their vote counts. They believe that voting is the way to change their lot in life. But then you also look at whether or not there is truth, whether or not people are being told, you know, don't believe journalism, don't believe science, don't believe experts, just instead go with your gut, believe what your leader tells you and follow your prejudices. All of those things are operative right now in terms of why people are worried about American democracy. Mm-hmm. Most of those things were operative in the late 1930s and early 1940s. But the one thing that we've got trouble with right now, which they did not have trouble with at that time, was the electoral piece of it. And when this stuff was exposed by activists and journalists and the Justice Department, the American people voted most of the powerful people associated with this out of office. And so a lot of my bad guys from this story in Congress were voted out in 42, 44, 46. And that made a really big difference because the proximity to power of this kind of radicalism is what makes it so dangerous. And when you take away, when you reject through the electoral system, the people who are bringing this stuff into the heart of American power, it effectively dislocates them from the thing that makes them the most dangerous.
What keeps you up at night when you think about what's going to happen next year? I mean, you write a book about this, you talk about it in your television program, you know this well. And when you take a look at lessons of history that may or may not be remembered, but also what's happening right now, as I say, like, what's the thing that wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
The Democratic Party is doing politics. The Republican Party is not doing something that I would call a political project right now. For example, we're having Republican presidential debates. And whatever happens at the debates, you look at the response of the Republican electorate afterwards, and they just don't want any of those candidates. They want this strongman candidate who tells them that elections don't matter, and who doesn't want to be subject to the legal system and who wants the legal system instead subject to him.
I'd like to take one too, Dad.
Scared, son? Don't be. I love you at times like this.
I know, Dad, but how can you be an... I mean, I still don't see how you can be my defense lawyer and the people's prosecutor all at the same time.
Easy, son. This way I can personally see that you're persecuted to the full extent of the laws.
That's my dad.
George Leroy, tire biter, please take the stand.
Does he mean me?
Now stand tall, Porge. There's no...
This is a line of Indians leaving Rancho Malario to make room for you. Here's the beautiful Trail of Tears golf course.
This is Carolyn Presky. You've sold out. Now let's see just what you bought on this, your third day on Hawaiian Sellout. Bob, what's Miss Presky's heap so far?
Right, Jack. So far, a complete broken set of color bars for Mrs. B's new home, some leveled mountain skis and water rollers for that fun-filled open season, an unattached grid 5 stand-up reheater with a smoke window, and now...
300 full pounds of Chef Antoine's Southern Fried Glimpse, toasted to golden perfection, cubed, reheated, and returned to water before you're ready, Miss B. And the inside, well, look at that. It's just as lovely. Two shelves were none are needed. And look at that. Close the door and the light stays on. Well, how do you feel, Miss Presky?
Sick.
Ah, well, you can afford it now, love. But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come.
Was that the line you took, Lieutenant?
I can't.
Oh, go ahead. You have to answer this one.
I can't remember.
Calm down, my boy. Our entire defense rests on you not...
kindly instruct your client to stop acting, and you could take a couple of lessons in military toughness yourself.
Yes, and everything went black.
General,
I
must insist this man is in no condition to replay that.
Well, I can see that, Major. Will the recording sergeant read the scene back to him?
Yes, sir. Alvarado, sir, what are we going to do, man? Matetsky, take it easy, Lieutenant.
tire biter. We're gonna go out there and cut. I can't say it. I'm sorry, but I zip beep. Can you remember now, Lieutenant?
Surrogate General Klein, sir. When I signed my contract with you, I fully intended to fulfill its terms with honor, sir. But you never told me I had to go out there and kill anybody.
Lieutenant, we will not tolerate the use of prohibited language in this court's marshals. The accursed will be advised of the absence of his rights under the secret code of military toughness and will act accordingly.
Oh, gee whiz, I'm sorry.
I suppose it's we parents should be sorry, Judge. We failed somewhere. We didn't raise this boy to use language like that.
Now, it's not our fault anymore, Mr. Prosecution. Call the next witness.
What do you think I ought to call him, Judge?
I don't know. We don't have a name for him. He never went to school.
Well, then, the people calls to the stand, you.
Don't point at me, Daddy. I'll cut off your finger.
No. No, you, the second man from the rear over there. You, the man with no shoes.
Who? Me?
You.
Mudhead? Oh, golly.
You promise to covet property, propriety, plurality, surety, security, and not hurt the state? Say what?
What?
Take your stand.
Now then, Mr. Head.
Hi, Mr. Tirebiter. You know me.
Do you know the defendant?
Do I know Porgy?
And you spend all your free time with him?
Sure, except when he's in school.
So you don't go to school?
Heck no. I'm 30 years old.
But you were in school, weren't you?
Never.
And with your friend Porgy?
No.
Last night.
Oh, you mean commie martyrs.
Communist martyrs high school, exactly.
Well, yeah, of course. Porgy had to find out where they were hiding more science, or he couldn't get out.
He admits it. He was trying to get out.
Isn't everybody?
Yes, to get out in times of declared emergency.
What emergency?
Well, there you are, Judge Poop. Youth here doesn't seem to know about the disappearance of the old school.
But that's what Porgy was looking for!
If you don't answer the question, young man, we're going to have to gag you.
What question?
Gag him.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
Oh, that was no lady. That was Bottles.
Bottles?
I got so I'd drink anything. After that, I just couldn't seem to get off this stuff. My whole career went up in smoke. There was no way I could follow the scenario written by the people who pay for your wheelchairs, General.
Are you impugning, sir, that this uniform might be for sale? This uniform that bears the three stars that indicate my ratings? Bedecked with ribbons that represents every theater of war? Who wore it last in our proud company? This full-dress uniform, W-2565, seen in our finest hours, in ruthless combat, in dogfights over Broadway, and worn out, finally, here on this spot, in parallel hell. What is it worth? How much do I hear?
That's metaphysically absurd, man. How could I know what you hear?
I don't hear that.
$5.
I heard that. What do you think you're trying to do, Lieutenant? Buy your way out of these proceedings?
I am out, Klein. I don't like you. I don't want a part in what you're selling. And I'm walking out of your set.
You can't do that.
Watch me.
You'll never work in this town again, Tirebiter.
What town?
George, come back. Now, don't worry, Mr. Klein. Don't get mad. I'll bring him back. He's a good boy. A good boy gone bad. You move when you're told not to move. You take off your shoes to evade the men who are trying to protect you. You sneak into a forbidden sector after curfew, and you are caught with your hands up something they don't belong. My, my, my! Your friends at Commie Martyrs must be mighty proud of you.
Dad, I don't have any friends at Commie Martyrs.
Hey, I've never even seen anyone from there.
You're right, Mudhead. And now there's no room for anybody because it's all filled up with more science.
Where'd they go?
Yeah, where did all the kids go?
Well, they're in Korea.
On which side?
What's that soldier doing in here? What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
I mean in whose movie?
This is no movie. This is real.
Which real?
The last reel of this vintage motion picture, High School Madness. Lot number M-25, black and white, 35mm.
Oh, I see.
Now, who started at $5?
All right,
let's
I guess
go
it was me.
25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25,
25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
25. So here's your last deal, Miss Presky. Now, which would you rather do? Hit this Jew over the head?
And who effectively wants to get rid of what we have as an American system of government. And that's what Republican voters seem to want. And that, when those are the stakes, it makes it hard to figure out a political end towards the right, a political process that gets you to the right end. It's a really difficult contest. I believe that the United States will make the right choice, but the choice is getting starker and starker with every new Trump rally where he promises yet another anti-democratic eventuality for when he seizes power again. And that's, I know it's not a particularly original take, but it's just getting more and more present as a danger.
Just before I let you go, the very end of this book is a shout out to librarians and archivists. You say we must defend them with everything we've got. As a library nerd who believes that some of the best days of his life have been spent in libraries, tell me about that threat and what frightens you there.
One of the things, one of the cornerstones of a democratic system that you need to take care of is the truth and is... You know, as I said before, it's journalism, it's expertise, it's science, it's people's belief that there is a knowable, checkable fact in the world, and that the accumulated knowledge of our culture and our countries is something that can be used to inform our present. And when you try to unwrite history, when you try to disconnect people from history, when you try to problematize the very idea of higher learning or knowable truth, what you're telling people is instead to not believe what they know is right and not believe the reality of the world. And that is how you get an otherwise civilized people to do horrific things.
I'm so glad to have the chance to talk to you about this. This is a fantastic book, but it's also just, it's a moment in our time. And I really appreciate the chance to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is a great conversation. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Rachel Maddow is the host of The Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC. Her new book out today is Prequel, An American Fight Against Fascism.